You probably saw in the bulletin, the title of my message this morning is, Why Should We Stand With Israel? Why should we stand with Israel? Well, obviously, the context of the sermon is the events that have unfolded in the last couple of weeks. And I know that we've all been touched in one way or another by what we have seen and heard. Of course, there's been much pain and horror, grief, and to some degree, I'm sure, fear in many quarters over the events. But it's appropriate that we take time to ask this question right now as God's people. And I wanted to use as our launching text one that has been important to me from the Psalms in regard to my thought and relationship toward Israel, Psalm 122 and verse 6. And I'd like you to read it with me, please. Jerusalem, we pray that you will have peace and that all will go well for those who love you. Church, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God for it. All right, well, friends, Israel is both a people and a land that hold a special place in the heart of God. The Bible speaks of Israel in a unique, prophetic, and I mean very clearly redemptive sort of way. One of the most amazing things that we hear in the Bible when God is speaking about Israel is that he's very personal. He says, Israel is mine. Mine. Say with me, mine. Mine. That's a clear indication of the deep love and affection he has for the people and their land. You know, actually, no other place on earth is spoken of in Scripture in the same way as Israel is spoken of. Israel was chosen by God to be a light to the nations of the world, or to what the Bible refers to as the Gentiles. And of course, the Christian church in its early days was almost entirely Jewish. And it remained that way until the gospel began to spread out from Jerusalem in the first century. And the gospel then spread to Syria, where the first Gentile congregation was established. And from there, as we know from the book of Acts, the gospel spread to all the corners of the world. It's quite a history. And Derwins, in light of it, I submit to you that you and I as believers have a responsibility to support Israel. Amen. And to stand with her, and especially now. We need to pray for Israel. We need to encourage her in every way we can. And I'd say we have to recognize the unique role that she plays in God's plan for the world. And again, we also must remember that the Christian church, even as we sit here today, we owe our very existence to the historical Jewish people. Because without them, there would be no gospel, there would be no salvation, and there would be no hope. So, as we get going, yes, everyone, by supporting Israel, the fact is you and I will be fulfilling God's prophetic plan for his people and the whole world. So, I'd like us to talk about that a little more in depth. In the book of Romans, and you may recall reading this, specifically chapters 9 through 11, the Apostle Paul there actually tackles the question of the Jews and their place in God's plan. And this is very important, and I bring this up because a lot of modern-day believers don't know much about this relationship. Paul there wanted to clarify what it was. Now, these three chapters really stand out in the Bible because they really actually dive deeply into the theology of how God interacts with the Jewish people. Now, for starters, we find there that the Jews were the first ones to truly grasp the concept of a covenant with God. That's really, really important. And it all started with Abraham. There's a picture of him. And from there, that covenant and the concept of monotheism, one God, the Jews, the ancient Hebrews, the Jews shared the richness of that truth with the rest of the world. That started about 4,000 years ago. And it was through their efforts that our Messiah Jesus came into the world. They became the womb through which he would be born. Now, the Word of God, and Paul says this in Romans 9-11, the Word of God actually refers to the Jews as the root and the Gentile nations, us, as the branches. It's a really powerful metaphor that I think really puts things in perspective. And it reminds us that even though some of the Jews were cut off due to their lack of belief in Jesus, we as the Gentiles should never be arrogant or complacent. No, we should actually be afraid, because if God didn't spare the natural branches that did not believe, he might not spare us either. But here's the good news, friends, and Paul wraps up Romans 11 with this. Friends, once the full number of people out of all the nations have come to faith in Christ, all of what Paul calls true Israel will be saved. And it's a promise that gives hope and reassurance to both Jews and Gentiles alike. So, back to my original question, why should you and I stand with Israel today? Well, saints, it's actually, aside from the prophetic and biblical foundations, which I'm going to explore more in just a moment, it's so practical for us as believers. We clearly find ourselves in a crucial moment in history that demands our attention, and it demands our action as followers of Jesus. It is possible that you and I may be living in the very last hour of world history. It's very possible. And if that's the case, look, I submit to you, it's not time for us to be sitting idly by. No, you and I are called to be active participants in the fulfillment of prophecy. You say, how so? Well, our duty is clear. We must pray fervently, even intercede on behalf of Israel, and wholeheartedly minister God's grace to them. Our Lord Jesus himself has instructed us not to waste our time speculating about the end times. We can acknowledge that we might be right at the very end, but he doesn't want us to spend all of our time just focused on that. We need to acknowledge it, but it should prompt us rather to focus on doing the work of the kingdom till he actually returns. Now, I know that taking on a subject like this in the midst of the current climate, someone could possibly misunderstand the motivations. But, church, this is not a matter of politics. Not what I'm doing today. This is about the Word of God. But the consequences in the political arena are real, and they are of the utmost importance. That's right. Because the Scriptures tell us that there will come a time when all the nations of the world will turn against Israel. Prophetically, Scriptures say this. That's heavy. And let me tell you, It's not far-fetched to think that this could happen in our lifetime, especially in critical moments like we're in right now. Haven't seen anything like this in decades. So I'm just making the appeal, let's not be passive observers. But for the sake of God's word and for the sake of our own future, let's be a voice of support and love for a nation that has faced so much opposition in history. Let's be a beacon of hope in a world that seems to be turning against them. Okay? Okay, so then, church, drawing upon the insights of other Bible teachers as well as my own, please let me briefly share with you this morning some very important biblical reasons we should stand with Israel today. The first I suggest being, as believers, it is our duty to highly value the people of Israel in our hearts and our minds. We must recognize and appreciate the incredible work that God has done through them and express our deepest gratitude for the blessings they have brought to the world. Yeah, you see, my brothers and sisters, the story of Israel, again I say, all started with a special group of people called Abraham and his seed. And it all started because in God's own mind, he had a choice he was going to make, and that choice was that Israel would be his very own people, and he started with one man. It's kind of like the same way that parents choose to adopt a child. God just chose to say, I pick him and his descendants. I don't know why God just picked this one man, but he did. And I'm sure it had much to do with Abraham's heart and his seeking. We don't know, but there was something unique about this man. God chose him and said, I adopt him and his people. And as that nation developed, God's presence among them, that ancient people, was so amazing and powerful that it was through that presence that he would reveal himself to them. And this presence was called the glory of God. And it was like a special spiritual light that showed everyone how great and loving and holy God was. And if there's anything about these forefathers of the faith, it was they were people of the presence of God. God was with them. But God also made some special promises to his people. And he called them covenants. And one of these early promises was, of course, made to Abraham, and understandably so. And God said to him, I will give you a huge family, and I will also give you a special land to dwell in. And through your family, all the nations on earth will be blessed. Now, that was what was called the Abrahamic covenant, the agreement between God and Abraham. But there was more. Then through Moses, God gave his people some rules to follow because he was making a nation out of them, a special people. And you know about Moses going up on the mountain and getting the commandments of God and the laws. This was called the Mosaic Covenant, understandably. It was like a guidebook to help them learn about God and how to be saved, how to stay in righteousness with God. And it taught them about the importance of sacrifice and especially the importance of the blood of the Lamb, the shed blood of the Lamb, which ultimately symbolized Jesus and his sacrifice for us. But God had even a greater plan than that. In addition, in Christ, he also promised to make a new covenant with his people at one point. He said, I will put my very spirit inside you, and I will give you a new law written on your minds and on your hearts. And this was foretold by the prophets Jeremiah and Ezekiel. down through these centuries, all of these things happening. But then, yes, saints, beyond question, the most amazing gift of all was when God sent his only son, Jesus, into the world. He loved us so much that he gave Jesus to us as a gift. Jesus was born as a Jew, and he came as the Messiah to save everyone. First his own people, the Jews, and then the whole world. In fact, when he announced his mission, he did it on a Sabbath day, on a Saturday service at the synagogue in his hometown. There's a picture of it. He was in Jewish synagogue, standing up, reading from the scroll of Isaiah, and he announced, "The Spirit of the Lord has upon me now to fulfill. I am the seed of Abraham." He even told the woman at the well, so there would be no question of understanding. He said, "Salvation is from the Jews." I need you to hear those words. Our Lord said, "Salvation is from the Jews." Carry that in your mind and heart. Because, of course, he came from that womb. He was birthed from the womb of that people. Now, church, the Bible tells us that all of these things are extremely important, that we revisit these things and we reaffirm them in our minds and our hearts, because they are like the roots of everything we know about God. We Gentile believers, these are the roots of everything we know about God. And it's amazing to see that after 4,000 years, the Jewish people still exist today, and that they have their own nation. It's truly from the hand of God. But today, the struggle is over Jerusalem. It's over Israel and over the presence of Jews and their right to have a land. And the sad truth is there are few nations willing to make an abiding commitment to stand by the Jews and Israel. But the Bible says God will honor those who do. And he will judge nations based on how they treat the Jews and the decisions they make, just like he does with individuals. And I was very thankful to hear our president's words when he visited Israel on Wednesday and strongly confirmed our national commitment to stand with them, not only now, but always. And then Congress went on to make the same affirmation. I thank the Lord for that. Now, subsequently, loved ones, another very important biblical reason we should stand with Israel today is because, according to the Word, our place in God's present order is closely connected to the Jews as a people and the literal land of Israel. We are inextricably linked to them. Please say with me that last sentence. We are inextricably linked to them. Look, there are many Christian groups today who have differing theological views than what I'm presenting here today, and they have chosen to decouple themselves from the connection that I'm speaking about today. They don't see it as relevant any longer or binding, or they believe it's been replaced with something else. My advocacy from Scripture is that we are inextricably linked with Israel. In simple terms, I guess I could say it this way, our connection with God and his plan is closely tied to the Jewish people and the land of Israel. And this is, again, because our faith in the Lord Jesus, who was born a Jew, puts us in the same historical line as that segment of Jews who have trusted in God's grace and redemption down through the centuries. There's Jesus pointing to Abraham in this artwork. And remember, the Lord said, "Your descendants will be like the stars of the sky and the sands of the sea. You can't even count them. There'll be so many. It's Jesus saying, that's because of me, Abraham. I'm your seed. The whole world will be blessed because of what you have done. Now, I want to clarify here something that I think needs to be made clear. And that is, folks, many times we can assess the entire body of the Jewish people. And we can look at the various sects within Judaism and the factions of Judaism, some secular humanist Jews, atheistic Jews. There's Jews that are the conservatives, the reformed, the orthodox. There's all these branches of Jewishness. And then there's just the political Jews, who their religion is just the state. And we can look at all of that, and sometimes trying to assess it, we're trying to search for where is God in all of it. But what I want to tell you is, just as it has been true in the history of the Christian church, there is always a true remnant within Israel and a true remnant of believers within the church. God has always had his remnant within the larger group. And that's where sometimes folk get tripped up, because they say, well, I look at this and I don't see this, or I don't see that. And what you have to know is, from the time of Abraham all the way down to when the Messiah Christ came, there have always been a remnant that were loyal and faithful to God. It's never been the majority. It's always been those that were chosen and found faithful. But God, nonetheless, because of that remnant, many times has preserved the larger, because he has faithfulness to the remnant. So when I talk to you today about Israel, I want you to look past all the politics, and please look past all the various sects of Judaism, the secularism and whatever else, and I want you to say, no, in the midst of all of that, as there has always been, there is a faithful remnant of Jews who have trusted in God's grace and redemption, and still do today in the form that they are dealing with God now in. And thank the Lord that that's how he's seen his church too. Because the Lord has always said, because of the remnant, he would not abandon the people. If he can just find that remnant that comes out of that group, that's what he goes with. Are you with me? Our Lord Jesus talked about this. He even said to his own followers, take courage, little flock, because it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. You and I want to be a part of the remnant of God. And that's why I urge you to understand that there is a remnant that we're talking about that God is being faithful to, and that we are inextricably linked with that remnant. I hope that's clear. But how inextricably linked are we if we're really in the same, like the Hebrews 11, our forefathers in the faith who, as they practiced their Jewish faith by type and by proxy, they were anticipating Christ. And God credited that to them later, when Messiah came. The Bible says that when you and I receive Jesus as our Savior, we become like Jews, spiritually speaking. Paul says it in Romans 2, 28 and 29, and Galatians 3, 26 to 29. We become spiritual Jews. That's why, as believers, we cannot ignore or be indifferent toward the Jewish people and Israel, as that would go against what the Bible teaches us. Folks, we always need to recognize and appreciate the work that God has done through Israel as a people, and especially and particularly through the remnant. Amen? Okay, but saints, another very important biblical reason we should stand with them is due to the fact that, according to God's word, The land of Israel has been given a special status that has never been revoked. Now I'm saying again, God has made some special declarations about the actual dirt, the land of Israel. And folks, these declarations have never, ever been taken back. And I found some interesting verses from the Bible about the land, the terra firma, the actual dirt, that it belongs to God. For example, in Leviticus 25:23, it says that the land is the Lord's, and it's up to him to assign and dispose of it. Deuteronomy 32:43 talks about how God will provide atonement for his land and his people. In 2 Chronicles 7:20, God warns that if the people violate him, he will uproot them from the land he has given them. Psalm 85:1-2 talks about how God has been favorable to his land and has forgiven the iniquity of his people. Isaiah 8:8 says that the land belongs to the Father God and his Messiah. Jeremiah 2:7 explains why the city of Jerusalem will be destroyed, because the people defiled God's land. In Ezekiel 38:16, God speaks of a confrontation that will take place in his land in the end times. And finally, in Joel 1:6, 2:18, and 3:2, the land is referred to as belonging to the Lord and being the heritage of Israel. Now, dear ones, since these things have been penned, they have never changed. And we see that in that, historically, even when Israel lost control of the land due to sin and deportation, God's commitment to them never wavered. In fact, he promises in Isaiah 54 that his kindness and covenant of peace will never be removed from them. And in Ezekiel 37, we see that God is committed to restoring Israel to their land, and he says, making it theirs forever. So when we read Zechariah 9:16, we can see that God's love and commitment to Israel is unwavering when he says, quote, "The Lord their God will save them in that day as the flock of his people, for they shall be like the jewels of a crown, lifted like a banner over his land." Okay, so my brothers and sisters, when we talk about the nation and geographical territory of Israel, we are actually talking about something super significant. You see, it's not just any piece of property. It's a piece of property that God himself has made pronouncements about down through the centuries. And not only that, it's also the land that God has given to his people. And I just want to say, I think this is a major issue for the one true God who is the creator of all things, including the earth itself. And it's something that cannot be negotiated or changed. So, I know I'm just going to risk redundancy here, but let me just reiterate for clarity. God has said some very unique things about the land of Israel, and these statements still hold true today. They've not been rescinded. And you also heard me say that the land just doesn't belong to God in this ethereal sense. No, he's also committed it to Abraham and his descendants through his son Isaac. This is the commitment God made forever. It's stated in Genesis 17, 7 to 8, if you want to read it. Okay, and it's a promise that has stood the test of time and will continue to do so. I submit to you that the very fact that they are in the land today, after their incredible history of being basically dispersed to the nations of the world, not just one time, many times, and that they are back today is precisely tied to the promises of God that I have just noted in Scripture. Now, loved ones, another very important biblical reason we should stand with them is due to the fact that the current conflict in Israel isn't something they started or are continuing because they want to expand their territory, because they're just being racist. No, the present conflict was incited, as you know, by deliberately planned and executed acts of horrific terrorism from militant groups residing within the Palestinian territory of Gaza. 40,000 estimated Hamas militants living in Gaza. That's a lot of fighters. Now, you know, it's sadly interesting how much of the world seems to see the Palestinians as the underdog in this whole Israel-Palestine situation. But look, let's not forget that Israel holds a strong belief that the land was promised uniquely to them, not only in Scripture, historically, but way back in 1917 with the Balfour Declaration from Great Britain. And then the United Nations Assembly even established it officially as a nation in 1948. And there's the Palestine Post newspaper that gave the headline. 1948, the United Nations agreed this would be the Jewish homeland. All right? And I just want you to know, as a point of record, if you didn't, the very first nation of the world to recognize them was the United States of America. Our nation was the first. That's something we should be very thankful for. So, Israel has their convictions, but here's what's sad. On the other hand, the Palestinians seem to have a very different agenda. Their basic agenda is not just about securing a homeland for themselves, no. They actually want to completely drive Israel out. As you see in this picture of a protest, their mantra that they chant is, "Free Palestine from the river to the sea." That means from the Jordan River to the Mediterranean Sea. They want Israel completely expunged and driven into the sea, and that land returned to them. And this conflict has raged and raged and raged, as you know. It has its lulls and its ebbs, but it's gone on ever since Israel got back into the land. But you'd think in the midst of all this conflict, there might be some effort made by the neighboring Arab nations to help be a part of the solution for the Palestinians. But no, what's really sadly surprising, those surrounding Arab nations who have definitely plenty of resources, they've never really offered a home or even a refuge to the Palestinians. It's like they're not really interested in helping them out. And it seems like that there's something more about them being a political pawn in some larger game. You know, it's a shame that most people around the world are not aware of these facts. You've even seen, in the midst of the need to have the Palestinians flee for safety, the neighboring nations not even opening their doors. But it's a shame that many, if not most people around the world are not aware of these facts. And it seems like nobody is really making an effort to inform them. It's like there are other forces at play that overshadow the truth and are manipulating public opinion against Israel. Now, having said that and having just seen a picture like that, I want to say that yet another very important reason we should stand with the Jewish people and do it with a good heart is because of this. Supporting Israel doesn't mean we're against Arab people as a whole, or that we're against the rights of Arabs living in Israel to have a peaceful, secure, and prosperous life. Okay, everyone, let's be totally clear. God loves everyone, including the Arabs. That's right. Because did you know that the Arabs are actually descendants of Ishmael, who alongside Isaac was the other son of Abraham? Abraham had two sons. It's true. And here's what's so important to reaffirm. God also spoke a blessing over Ishmael, including his having a place in the Jewish land of promise. But what has sadly happened is that over the centuries, the Arab descendants of Ishmael have lost their connection to Ishmael's identity, and they also subsequently lost their piece of the land when they gave it up when Israel became a nation in 1948. And it's these two deep losses that continue to drive the Arab people to fight to restore the entire land to themselves. And there is also a major religious component to the conflict. And that is that Islam is now the dominant religion in both Gaza and the West Bank. Most of the population in Palestine are Muslims, 85% in the West Bank, and 99% in the Gaza Strip, which is where the events of now are happening. 99% are Muslim. And so to add more complexity to the situation, according to Islamic beliefs, a Muslim state is accountable for overseeing land that ultimately belongs to God. And since the land is owned by Allah, it cannot be transferred to any other deity, including the God of Israel. And so, as you can imagine, this creates a tremendous amount of challenges when it comes to resolving this land conflict. Because you've got the Jews who historically say, this is our land that God has given us, prophetically given us, and now you have the Palestinians over here, and especially now, particularly with the Islamic foundation of their beliefs, saying, no, there's only one God but Allah, this is his land now, and we have to have it and own it for him. And you guys can't be on it. You can't even have a space on it. So we have to drive you completely out. And of course, the radicals are the ones that press this. And then there's just the everyday folks who just want to have a life, right? The majority of the people who just want to try to have a life, and they want to have a family, and they're just caught in all this horrible crossfire. But they are also, in many ways, caught up in the ideology, the ideological beliefs of their group. It is such a difficult situation. But there is a space in God's plan and God's heart, and there would be a solution, a state, a place that could be granted. But it's going to take much more work and the changing of hearts. I pray for another generation that wants to do it. And so, church, I want to say this. Sometimes people think that if you're supporting Israel, it means you're against all the Arabs. I'm just here to tell you that is not true at all. Because we can stand with Israel and still show love and kindness to all people, including the Arabs. God doesn't want us to be unkind or unloving towards anyone. He wants us to seek what is just for all. Whatever Ishmael's portion is in the land, I want them to have it. I'm not skilled or gifted enough or knowledgeable enough to determine what that is, what in God's mind the space he had intended they have in the land. But they have a piece. There's a portion. But boy, we've got to pray that there can be a grace of God in the midst of all of this. I say this, the compassionate humanitarian aid for all the innocent civilians of Gaza who are at serious risk is now flowing in from the U.S. and other countries. And look, we thank the Lord for that. And we've given money to help. Last week, I announced we gave some money. And there's lots of money flowing in now from so many quarters. Because we don't want anybody to suffer. We don't want anyone who's caught in the crossfire to be deprived. Now, having said that, I need to qualify that love further and honestly acknowledge, though, that another crucial reason we should stand with Israel is this. Because in the Arab world, there are deep-seated animosities that go beyond politics, religion, or territory. And church, these animosities are fueled by spiritual forces that are unrelenting in their desire to see Israel wiped off the map. Friends, in the battle against Israel, I'm saying it's important to understand that the opposition isn't solely driven by individuals who hold a dislike for the Jews. No, it's much more than that. We find ourselves entangled in a powerful current of spiritual forces that surpass human capabilities, forces that cannot be defeated through political means or the art of persuasion or deal-making alone. These spirits won't rest until they see Israel completely disappear. These demonic forces can only be shattered through the collective act of intercessory prayer from God's people, where we boldly call upon the Lord to cast down the principalities, the powers, and the mindsets that stand against reconciliation. And there are regimes totally demonically inspired at this point. It's huge, but the intercessory task is real. And we have to understand it, because people say, why can't it be resolved? When you usually find something super intractable, folks, many times look behind it, because there's often demonic power there. And so we have to understand the role of the prayer, the power of prayer. And so then, brothers and sisters, following this same vein of thought, why should you and I stand with Israel today? Well, it's absolutely essential. Even an existential concern when we realize that these same demonic spirits that fuel these animosities are just as much against Christians as they are against Jews. Make no mistake. And over time, it's highly likely that these spirits will continue to increase their persecution of both groups. Please take this to heart. Saints, in the scriptures, it's written that during the final days of human history, two witnesses will face death in Jerusalem. Revelation chapter 11 tells us. And I just want to submit to you, you know, throughout history, we've seen two witnesses who have faithfully stood for God. Two groups. And you know who those are? The Jews and the Christians. The Jews and the Christians. That's right. Believers in Christ face the same hostilities and animosities of Israel because there's a spirit in this world that opposes anything related to God, the true God, the God of the Bible. And this spirit targets not only believers, but also everything associated with God and his teachings. And what teachings am I referring to? Well, specifically the teaching that God as our creator deserves our worship. He's the one that brought us into existence, and he's the one that deserves our reverence and our adoration. It's also the teaching that God, as our judge, holds us accountable for our actions. We're responsible to him for our choices, and one day we'll answer to him for our deeds. It's the teaching that God, as our Redeemer, has revealed himself through his Son, Jesus Christ. And through Jesus, God has shown his love and mercy to humanity, offering us redemption and salvation. It's the teaching that God, as the moral lawgiver of all humanity, expects us to live according to his standards, that we have a responsibility to behave in a manner that aligns with his moral principles. You see, in summary, we believers and Israel face similar opposition because there is a spirit in the world that opposes everything related to God or anything that even has a history with God. But we owe our worship, we owe our accountability, we owe our gratitude, we owe our responsible behavior to God, who is our creator. He is our judge. He is our redeemer. He is our lawgiver. And he's our savior. And finally, dear ones, a very final but important biblical reason we should stand with Israel today is because we are called to it. I hope you got that out of this whole message. We are called to stand in faith, to pray with hope, and to offer our unwavering support. Why? Because it's based upon our biblical assignment. We've got an assignment from God. And his promise. Everyone, you and I need to stand with Israel today because we could be living in the last hour of human history. Israel is given as a prophetic clock. And the Lord has called us to be people who have strong moral and biblical convictions, who walk wisely and who know his word. This is the time for that. And he's going to honor those who make a lasting commitment to stand with the land he has chosen as his own. Okay, so practically and quickly, here are some actions you can take to show your support for Israel. First, I want to encourage you to educate yourself with reliable information. Avoiding prejudice and being aware of the bias in the media, because, oh boy, there is. Be cautious when reading or viewing reports, but please don't let paranoia cloud your judgment. Take the time to understand the history of the Middle East, not simply the events of the past century, that's important, but also, yes, recent events. But also, and where I started this morning, keep praying for the peace of Jerusalem as the Bible instructs you to do. Pray that our nation will govern in a way that aligns with God's promise in Genesis 12, 1 to 3, which states that he will bless those who bless Israel. Now, I know this might be a little ambitious at this stage, but I just want to say, how can you support Israel? Well, hopefully when opportunity presents itself again at some point in the future, maybe consider visiting Israel as a practical way to show your support. I want to believe there's going to be a time where that's going to be able to happen again. Your presence can be a source of encouragement and solidarity. And I'll bet for now, that's going to mean more to the Jewish people than ever before, when people from all over the world come. I'd also say, show friendship and support to any Jewish friends and neighbors you may have. Yeah, I don't know if any of you do, but if you do, let them know that as a believer, you stand with Israel because of your commitment to God's word. And also let governmental representatives also know where you stand on this as well when you can. And finally, I would just say this. While it's very important to acknowledge and denounce the terrorist actions of radical Islamists like Hamas, it's also crucial for you and me to be gracious towards other Muslims who are our peaceful fellow citizens. We are called to treat everyone with kindness and respect, regardless of their beliefs or background. This is what our Lord Jesus has taught us. Okay. So now, I just want to talk to each of you one-on-one, my brother or sister. It's really important that you take action right now because of this crucial point in time. I don't think it's an overstatement to say that we're facing a showdown where it could be the entire world against Israel, and who will be standing with them. The ultimate question will be, who is on Christ's side and who isn't? Dear one, God has called you to be a part of a group of people who will make a difference and stand up for what's right, especially in situations like this. It can be done strongly, but it can also be done diplomatically. It can also be done lovingly, but it can be also done passionately. In Jesus' name, I'm calling you to do your part and make a stand for your moral and biblical convictions. So with the essential help of Christ's Spirit, wow, definitely, we need you, Jesus. Will you say yes and make your prayer commitment in just a moment? But first, I would just like you to please listen to this hymn of invitation. It's the Israeli National Anthem, and it's sung by Marty Goetz. He's a Messianic Jew, and he's a fellow believer. And I'm just going to ask, as you listen in your heart of hearts, perhaps you would be willing to join me and all of us right now offer a prayer of intercession for Israel as we listen. This anthem is entitled The Hope.
I think we should sing this. Let's try this. Ulfate misera,
Lord, hear our prayer. Amen. Well, listen, everyone, thank you for that opportunity to stand together and fulfill our purpose in our day and our time, our generation. We hope that these types of days would not have to come, but we will be with the Lord's plan and purpose as long as we're here and we have breath. Amen. Amen. So I want to mention that after the service, there will be prayer up here for any particular need. If there's anyone here today who is seeking to reconnect with the Lord Jesus in a personal relationship, we'll have a booklet like this out in the lobby available for you. And it'll be able to be picked up at the table out there. Why Jesus explains how to come into a relationship with God through faith in Christ, or if it's time to reconnect because you drifted away, this will help you get back on track with Jesus today. So we encourage you to get that. Come for prayer, whatever the need is today. We want to lift up any and every need. Otherwise, I want to leave you with this blessing as you head out into this beautiful day and your week ahead. Now may the Lord Jesus, our Messiah, who conquered sin and suffering, he conquered danger and death, may he strengthen you as you live your lives. May he who overcame all obstacles, all terrors, all threats, all handicaps, all enemies, and finished his work, may he help you conquer everything in your lives that prevents you from doing his will and living life as he intended you to. As he overcame everything in the world that threatened him, may he help you to overcome what you face. And may he guide and strengthen you so that you may be at peace in him. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.